Ryan Dobson here, thanking you for coming by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
And your host, as always, is psychologist, author, and America's foremost family expert, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Lou Anne Crane, and Ryan, today we're continuing a discussion we began last time with three gentlemen who are on the front lines of protecting families.
Well, yesterday we heard from the leadership of Pure Hope, an organization that is committed to helping Christians live lives of sexual purity in a culture really that's rife with pornography and negative messages about sex.
Well, that team included your dad's very good friend, Dr. Jerry Kirk. He told us quite a bit about how he fought against obscenity alongside your dad and many others in the 1980s. Dr. Kirk is the founder of Pure Hope. He's an author and the co-chairman of the Religious Alliance Against Pornography.
Well, they had so much to share about that, including the ground we've lost since the 80s and how we can turn it around. If anybody listening missed that, you can hear it at drjamesdobson.org, and we'd encourage you to do so. Also with us in studio was Rick Schatz, the CEO of Pure Hope, and Noel Boucher, who is the president of that ministry and also a former lawyer.
And Mr. Boucher actually had to join us by phone because of family commitments, which we appreciate, and that's actually where we're going to get started today. As our host, Dr. James Dobson, and asks him about his work and his efforts to guard his own two young daughters. So let's listen in now to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Do you worry about protecting them from the culture?
Of course I do. And, you know, a couple years ago I would have said, I'm terrified by what's going on. I wouldn't say that anymore. And that's, for me, one of the blessings that has come from joining the team at Pure Hope. I'm in a place of confidence right now, alertness, but confidence. And I think, you know, that's something that I want to help get other parents to. Most of us, our inclination will be to talk around this subject and share experiences and operate in fear. But the thing we have to recognize is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of soundness, power, and of love. And that's what he calls us to do in a world like this, because Scripture says we've got an enemy who's prowling about like a roaring lion. I know every single day that there's a roaring lion out there trying to devour my four-year-old and my two-year-old. Does that scare me? Yes, but when relying on the cross and the power of Christ, I recognize, hey, I can do this with confidence by engaging in them and praying over them and equipping them, even now.
Rick, I'm just thinking of all those scriptures that talk about how light overcomes the darkness. We all know that. If I have a bright room, darkness can't come in. But if I have a pitch black room and I light that match, the light has taken over. And I'm hoping right now we're speaking to maybe one person in a family who can stand up and say, it is all around me. And I agree that the battle is fierce. But today, I will stand up. It might be the woman who is just watching a husband just devoured by pornography or her kids, like you were saying, Ryan. But, you know, in my family, I want to be that woman that stands up and says, enough, I will be that light. That's what can begin.
We say to parents, you need to be the go-to people that your kids come to. The reality is, our kids, no matter whether we're homeschooling or they're in Christian schools or public schools, no matter how much we try to build a bubble, our kids ultimately will be exposed to some of the sexualized messages of the culture. The issue is, will you build an open, grace-filled, Christ-filled home where your kids know they can come to you and talk about anything? That's victory.
Rick, I'm thinking of a parent right now that's saying, my goodness, this is your kid's future. This is their future marriage. This is their future relationships. This is the future with their children. And, I mean, we're destroying lives now that's going to continue to repeat generation after generation if we don't take a stand.
I think the challenge is this, Ryan. When our young people engage in premarital sex, when they engage in promiscuous behavior, the cost of that never disappears short of the gospel of Jesus. So if parents really care about a godly legacy, they must make this issue, the sexuality of their children, which biblically is central and core to who they are. This is not a peripheral issue. It must be addressed, and it must be addressed day after day, moment by moment. It's what we say to parents. Use the teachable moments that you see. Jim, one of the things we say is, what's the one thing you have to have in your hand at all times when you're watching TV?
Remote control.
The remote.
That's exactly
And it's
right.
because you have to change the channels. When they're watching a football game,
oh my!
What's the problem? There are two. Advertising is one, and the cheerleaders are the other. Now, we say to parents, when the cheerleaders come on, not only change the channel, but you've got your 10-year-old or your 12-year-old or your 14-year-old sitting next to you. This is a teachable moment to teach young ladies how they should behave and how young men should treat young ladies. And you can win the day if you do that often enough. We see it every day when Christian parents will disciple their kids that way.
I want to build on what Ryan said earlier. And, you know, for me, this has been the big wake-up call as a parent in my 30s, which is this. We can't assume anymore that the world's safe. And, I mean, some people say 15% of it is hardcore porn online. Media, TV, the same way. My wife and I make the assumption that our kids are going to see something if they're watching it. And, you know, that may sound paranoid, but I think it's just good diligence. You know, I think there's two things that parents get caught up in. One is ignorance to the perils that are actually out there. And the second one is bondage. Parents aren't walking in freedom themselves, so they're not going to address this issue. They're not going to talk about God's design for sexuality. They're locked up in that.
And to be in prayer for your children. Jerry, you have 28 grandchildren, right?
That's right.
Do you spend time praying for them? I mean, that's a full-time job.
Every day, Jim. I've prayed for them every day and for each of our great-grandchildren every day and each of our children and their spouses every day. That's 56. We've got three more on the way.
Well, I used to be on that list. I think when I fell off the horse, you put me back on.
Buddy, you're right. You're right. And I praise God for that. I do want to build on what Rick said, because we do need to protect them. But the context needs to be God's grace, God's love, God's goodness through us. And so then when you want to protect them, hey, four of my grandkids, 28, but four of my grandkids sought me out and said, Papa, I'm struggling with pornography.
Oh, my goodness.
They felt free to come to me.
Yeah.
I've been working with them, and I praise God for the victories that have come. But it's a battle. It's a real battle. And so you've got to have the context of good relationship, of caring, of loving. And they know I pray for them every day. Mm-hmm. And they thank me over and over and over again that I'm praying for them every day and that they know it.
Mm. You know, we talk about protecting our children and our grandchildren. And that's part of the role of parenting. But ultimately, we must not only work to protect our kids, we must equip our kids. Because the exposure is going to happen. The issue is whether or not our children and grandchildren are equipped to follow Christ in the midst of the challenge. Mm. My youngest son went to Indiana University for a year and a half. 30 days after he was there, he calls me on the phone. He says, Dad, you're not going to believe this. Every Wednesday night on the dorm floor is porn flick night. And the resident advisor led the parade. Now and it's not just that school. It's everywhere. So I praise God, our Tim, he came home and went to the University of Cincinnati and lived at home. And he lost some in terms of the vibrancy of living on a college campus, and I acknowledge that. But he was equipped to make the decision that I'm not going to participate in that terrible culture. And I was really proud of him for doing so.
Almost a 4.0 average, but that, what you just described, was the point at which you've been most proud of him.
Absolutely.
Jim, I want to say to you, And I told you earlier that my daughter this morning said to me that Dr. Dobson is my hero.
Oh, Jerry.
because you have helped train my family of 56 members. Your wisdom, your knowledge, your commitment, your focus on the Lord. Brother, you have left a heritage in my family and in Pure Hope and in our nation that we have desperately needed. And I'm just thrilled to see Ryan following in your footsteps and all that that's going to mean, because I can see that Ryan is our Noel. In other words, God is raising up young leaders who have their priorities straight and are following Jesus Christ. And it is the Lord Himself who alone can build His kingdom. And it is the Lord Himself who alone can help Christian parents do what is needed to protect their kids.
Well, Jerry, I can't tell you what your comment means to me personally, because there's very few people in this country that I respect more highly than you and what you've tried to do with your own family. And you've stood up for righteousness. I've never seen you waver. I've never seen you compromise. And you've been a role model for me and for my family, too, and I appreciate it. And you're right about Ryan and Danae. Both of them love the Lord. And we fasted and prayed for them for years, but the Lord answered those prayers.
Yes.
And one of those answers is right here at
this
table.
Praise God.
Amen.
Lou Ann, you have four children. You have three boys and one girl.
I do. And I'm just thinking, when you say equip these children, Dr. Kirk, I admire you. You're a safe place. That papa in your grandchildren's lives. And as parents, we've got to be safe. Noel, I was struck something you said a while ago, that it begins with us. It begins with me. And I just have to say, in this discussion of pornography, as the woman at the table, I'm deeply concerned about this 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon that's going on with women. We're hearing that there are Christian women, Sunday school teachers, who are eating this up. Speak to that phenomenon.
Well, 50 Shades of Grey, you know, the best-selling book right now, and multiple books that basically feature, you know, BDSM, you know, just bondage, sadism, masochism, S&M sex, and glorifies it. And the problem with that, of course, is that this is by definition a deviant form of sex. I mean, it involves pain, it involves humiliation, it involves inflicting that on another human being, and primarily the woman. But it's not just something like 50 Shades of Grey in this book that takes off. I mean, I heard the other day about a bachelorette party of a group of Christian women who were in a Bible study together, and at this party they were doing pole dancing. And That's you know, the same thing playing itself out. It's about the acceptance of the objectification of the human person.
What is so threatening about this is that, again, Jerry, going back to the early days of this fight, it was primarily men. And women rejected it because the kind of hardcore visual stuff does not appeal to most women. But now we've gotten it into a written form that does appeal to women. It's my understanding that 40 million copies of that book have now sold.
Higher than Harry Potter, Doctor.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the fastest-selling paperback book in history.
Unbelievable. And what is that doing to relationships between men and women?
Well, I mean, I think this is a picture of what we call the sexualization of the culture. I mean, Jim, as much as we speak against pornography, and we clearly do, I haven't entered into a discussion with anyone for a decade about whether or not any particular material, book, movie, film is pornographic. I don't enter into that discussion anymore. The question is not whether or not 50 Shades of Grey is pornographic. The question is whether or not that material is beneficial. The question is whether or not men and or women can look at that material and that increases their sanctification and purity before Almighty God? And nobody can answer that question in the affirmative. Yeah. Nobody can read 50 Shades of Grey and think that that either leads them as a single person into greater purity or as a married person into a holy sexual relationship with their spouse. It is totally destructive. And if we don't deliver the message to the body of Christ about righteousness, purity, and the beauty of sexuality.
Yes, praise God.
Our kids will believe the sexualized messages of the world because the world in many cases is telling more truth than the church is, much to our shame.
I wanted to build on something that Rick just said, and that's the beauty of God's design and purpose for sex. And I think that's, you know, as I travel the country and as Jerry and Rick have done this for decades, that's really what we see is that especially the church has lost the story. And when you lose the story, you're opening yourself up to something like a 50 Shades of Grey, which comes in and fills the need for that story. But, you know, sex is not just something that exists on its own. It's a reflection of God's love for us. The two becoming one is a proclamation of God's love for us and Jesus and his bride, which we see throughout Scripture. And, you know, I think as we teach and equip our kids, that's how we have to think about this. It's not just laying down a bunch of rules and thou shalt not. It's really telling them a story. And then you can use that story to guide them, equip them, and fit things into it. Does that fit into the story at all? But when we lose the story, which I think the church has, because as we said earlier, I mean, we're not even preaching on the subject of sex, you lose an understanding of what it's about, and then you have people desperate for a narrative, and something again like 50 Shades of Grey comes in. And I was just thinking the other day, I heard about a Christian woman, a grandmother who had gotten involved with a group that was reading 50 Shades of Grey, and she confessed to her daughter afterwards, I can't get these images out of my head. Mm. And of course, what does that sound like? It sounds like what we've been hearing for decades with men and porn. And one last thing, Dr. Dobson, going back to what you were just saying, we have, when we talk about our parenting ministry, a threefold strategy that we put in front of parents. We've talked about two elements, protect and equip. There's a middle part there that's modeling, and that's just what we were talking about. And I think too many parents, and I see parents around me, my friends, my age group, they're just trying to teach their kids without actually living it out, without it actually letting that become part of them and being sanctified through that process. So protect, equip, but you got to be modeling at home. That's the key.
You know, along the line of what we're talking about here, my dad wrote something to me. He didn't publish it. He wrote it, and it's now on a plaque in my library. Let me read it to you. He said, "Desire is like a river. As long as it flows within the banks of God's will, be the current strong or weak, all is well. But when it flows over those boundaries and seeks other channels, then disaster lurks in the rampage below." Isn't that good? That's really what we're talking about. The desire is a good thing.
Right.
You didn't create that. God put that there. But you got to keep it channeled according to the Scripture and according to God's will. And if the parents do that, then the children will be more likely to do it also.
You betcha.
and yet, Doctor, here in the close, if I can just ask, we're speaking to someone, they have let it go over those banks. And Noah, you referred to it a while ago, you know, someone's read 50 Shades of Grey and they can't get the images out of their mind, or they've already exploited themselves too much. Where do they start? What can they do? They're dying right now. They know they're out of the boundaries. Where is the hope today?
Well, I think as we've said before, there really is only one hope, Luann, and that's in the grace of the gospel. All of us are sinners. The good news of Scripture in Romans 5:8 is that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We say over and over to people, no matter what you've done sexually, no matter what engagement you've had that's outside the boundaries, none of us the unpardonable sin. And if people have fallen short, and all of us have fallen short in the area of purity, it's not abstaining from the bad, it's leading a life of absolute purity. I don't believe anybody can truthfully claim that. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of confession, repentance, turning to Christ, accepting and claiming his forgiveness. Today is the first day of the rest of our lives.
Rick, I agree 100% with what you just said, but I want to elaborate on it just a little bit. The Lord can heal all disorders and problems and physical illnesses. He can, but sometimes you need to go to a physician in addition to that, right? And I think when someone is addicted to pornography, sometimes they need a professional who can help them, and they need accountability. You know, when men go off on a business trip and they come home, they really ought to be able to meet with four or five godly men who will ask them, what did you do when you were in the hotel room alone?
Jim.
Did you turn on pornography? And if you did, confess it, and we will pray with you about it. There's nothing wrong with using some of those well-known tools. You know, what is so difficult about pornography is that it has a hormonal base to it.
Right.
There is a substance in the brain called epinephrine. And it stamps images into the brain, and they'll stay with you sometimes for a lifetime. Something that you saw that really moved you, you can recall that. It becomes an album in your head. And so you really do need God's touch and God's blessing and God's healing on that. But you also need the support of godly people who can stand with you. I know you agree with that.
Jim, couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I've never known a person at the addictive level that has been healed who did not get into an accountability group.
Yeah,
this is not the Lone Ranger approach. You don't solve the problem alone. We need one another, and it's called the body of Christ. Mm. That's what it's all about.
It is what it's all about.
Mm. If I could jump in, we're hitting on things that are really core to the identity of Pure Hope, both in the past, presently, and especially into the future. The first thing we've already referenced, which is Pure Hope is really rooted in Scripture, including 1 John 3:3, which says, all those who hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. That's where the evil one, who's the father of lies, just pummels you, that there is no hope, that it is despair, that no one else suffers from this. You're the only one. Mm-hmm. But it's in community, when we confess our sins one to another, that we find healing and that we find the grace of the Lord. That's where it's operative. And we're just so thrilled that, you know, God has really given us this mission and even baked it into our name.
Well, Noel, I just pray that the Lord lead you as you guide this organization. You've had some predecessors that are giants, as you said, and two of them are here with us. Dr. Jerry Kirk, thank you for all that you've done for families and done for the cause of righteousness in the culture. And it has been a pleasure working with you. And of course, Rick Schatz, it's a delight to have you back with us. And thank you all for being with us. Jerry, let's do it again, okay?
Oh, Jim, what a privilege it's been to be here with you.
And may God bless Pure Hope in the days ahead.
Thank you, Jim.
And I'm so glad that we could end this Family Talk broadcast today by coming back to that hope that we have in Jesus Christ. If you are struggling today with an addiction to pornography, take that first step, would you, towards Jesus Christ?
Well, that's something that we would love to help you with here at Family Talk. We'd like to tell you more about what forgiveness and redemption means, even connect you with a Christian counselor in your area if you need that kind of assistance. Call us anytime, day or night, 877 877- 732-6825.
Of course, if you feel more comfortable, you can also find that same information at drjamesdobson.org, where we'll also have links to Pure Hope. They have countless resources that will assist you as you seek to live a life of sexual purity and even protect your own children from pornography. They also have a counselor on staff who's available during business hours to take your calls.
Again, you can find their number and connect with all of this at drjamesdobson.org. Once again, our phone number is 877-732-6825. We all stand with you as you start on your path towards freedom and purity. We're glad you could join us today, and be sure to be with us next time.
Because tomorrow we'll be kicking off our Family Talk Favorites season. When we come back to some of the most popular programs of the year, we'll be hearing from guest Linda Dillo as she answers the question, what's it like to be married to me?
Don't miss it. Right here, next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.